Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 8, containing the supreme text number 7. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yujacha mayarpita mano buddhir mame vaishatya samshayaha tasmat. Therefore, sarveshu, at all, kaleshu, times, mam, me, anusmara, go on remembering, yudya, fight, cha, also, mayi, unto me, arpita, surrendering. Manaha, mind. Buddhi, intellect. Mam, unto me. Eva, certainly, surely. Eshasi, you will attain. Asamshayaha, beyond a doubt. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna. At the same time, carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you'll attain me without doubt. Purport. The instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme plan of Krishna Loka without a doubt. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmana yujacha ayarpitabhano buddhir mame vaishatya samshayaha. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, at the same time carry out prescribed duty of fighting. The activities dedicated to me in your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Vudaya Srimadhe Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeva Gauravani Bacharne Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pasya Dhyade Satarne. In the previous verses, Krishna had said, "Anta kale tamameva sman muktva kalevaram yak priyati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samshaya." That anyone who thinks about me alone, namely Krishna at the time of death, then he attains my nature. This there is no doubt. Now Krishna is saying the same thing again, but now he's adding something else. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu, we should always think of Krishna. He's already told us that. Tasmat sarveshu mama nusmara yujacha my arpita mano buddhir, but now he's added this arpito buddhir. We should use our intelligence also. And intelligence means that we have to work, we have to do something. So Krishna is recommending we do something for him. Now the simplest thing to do for him is chant Hare Krishna. But there's obviously something more for that, because Krishna in the previous verse says, me alone. And he says here, always. Which means to think of Krishna always and not to think of anything else. So that's a little tricky. Otherwise Bhagavad Gita would be very small. He just had to say that. And that was it. Similarly, when Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he reconfirmed Brahma's statement, Gyane Priyasa Udapasta Namanteva. Namely, Lord Brahma said, Gyane Priyasa. It's tendency to speculate. Because most of us, we don't consider ourselves great intellectual speculators, but we're speculating all the time. Because as soon as we look around, we're just speculating because we don't know what we're seeing. Therefore, whatever we're looking at, whatever we're seeing, it's more or less a speculation. We think we see what's going on, but we see what the modes of nature are telling us is going on. So there's a difference between reality and our perceptions of reality. As Krishna said previously in another verse in the 14th chapter, that 17th chapter. Sadva Nirupa Sarvasha Shada Bhaviti Bharata Shada Maya Yo Purusha Yo Yashada Seva Saha. O Son of Bharata, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. A living being is said to be in particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. So according to what we're doing, we're going to get a certain experience, and that will give us a certain kind of faith. So according to the experiences that we have, that's our faith. Now in the material world, we have a choice. Well, there's three different major kinds of experience, but there's endless varieties of those, namely experiences in ignorance, experiences in passion, and experiences in goodness, and the endless variety of the combinations of those three. And we think that's reality, but that's our reality, personal reality, given to us by the illusory energy. So Krishna advises us that we should give up this speculation, which means that we have to see things from the point of view of Krishna. So put aside this idea that we actually know what's going on, and try to see things from the point of view of Krishna as he's being represented by the great sages. Yane priyasa urupasta namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam. That Krishna's representatives, they're trying to bhavadiya vartam, repeat what Krishna says so we can see what Krishna's talking about. Now, for instance, in the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us we're not this, well, the first instruction, practically speaking, Krishna tells Arjuna and ourselves that we're not this body. So if we actually accepted that, we wouldn't have any more problems. But we don't accept it, which means that we don't really accept Krishna fully. Which means that we're thinking, well, maybe Krishna's right, maybe he's not right. Of course, with a little intelligence, we can see he's right, that our bodies are changing, but we're not changing. We're always the same soul, we're always the same person in that body, whatever body we have, or whatever temporary body we're inhabiting. But still we haven't realized it, which means that the illusory energy is giving us a certain understanding of what that means. Which means because we haven't fully experienced it, although we may have some intellectual insight or maybe even some experience of it, but the material nature is molding our awareness of these things. So it's not 100% clear. So therefore, Brahma said, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agrees, that we should try to understand that we just don't see things properly, and therefore try to become submissive to what we're hearing from the coming down in disciplic succession from Krishna. Because the more submissive we come, and submission means that we're hearing it and then we're trying to remember what we've heard. And then we're trying to understand what we've heard, think about it, and then apply it in our lives. Now Krishna also says, Dhanesita Shutikatam Tanavangmanopira. There's no need to change our lives in the sense we don't have to change our ashram. We don't even have to change our varna. We don't have to change our occupation. We can stay as a householder or a brahmachari or whatever. We can be doing most works which are not sinful. We can stay in those activities. But we should hear from the scriptures, and then with our body, mind, and words, try to put it into practice. And then the result is we can conquer Krishna. Shruti gatam dhanavangmano bhir ye priyasa. By such endeavor, Jita, to conquer, Jitop, Yashasi Taistrilokya, we can even conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead by our dedicated service to Him. So this is what Krishna is telling us here also, that we should not only try to think of Him by chanting Hare Krishna, but we should also do some activity, such as chanting Hare Krishna, in order to please Him. Now obviously, as Prabhupada said, most of us don't have the attention to simply sit down all day and night and chant Hare Krishna. And therefore we have different services in the service of the Holy Name, namely to distribute the Holy Name to others. And that will deepen our relationship with the Holy Name and eventually give us a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, so that one day we will be able to, even if we don't, if we have other things to do in Krishna's service, we would be able to chant day and night Hare Krishna mantra. That's called Kataruchi. So that's in this advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, Name Gana Sadaruchi. But we can chant Hare Krishna, do the best we can, but we should try to give up at the same time this conception that either I know the Holy Name already or even know who I am. We should always consider ourselves, we're just trying to come to the platform of pure devotional service. Otherwise, although Prabhupada certainly wanted to encourage us to think ourselves to be devotees, but actually we're aspiring devotees. And in that aspiration, we have to hear, we have to try to remember, we have to try, as Krishna says, anusmaram. We have to try to remember, we have to try to understand, we have to try and practice, and then gradually our tendency towards devotion will awaken, and one day we'll actually feel devotion towards Krishna. Or as Prabhupada said, we'll become mad after Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj here is mentioned, and you also mentioned this is anusmara, remembering, which is a function of intelligence, and separately is also mentioned arpita mano buddhir. Also, it seems it's like a repeating or two different functions of the intelligence. How is that? One is remembering, which is a function of intelligence, and then again dedicate my intelligence.
No, well, everything is a function of the intelligence. We can't do anything without intelligence. Intelligence just manifests itself in different ways. Buddhi yoga, especially. Otherwise, without intelligence, we can't see, we can't hear, we can't taste, we can't do anything. We can't move without intelligence. But therefore, as tad buddhiyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayana, kachatnya puna abritim jnana nidulta kalmasha. One's faith, mind, refuge, intelligence are all fixed in the Supreme. So, intelligence has multifaceted, but it's not only intelligence, but also our faith, our refuge, the soul, everything has to be engaged. But here Krishna is specifically pointing out memory and activity. Because ultimately, as it says in the 18th chapter, our first intelligence is to understand how everything belongs to Krishna, and then get the intelligence from Krishna's representatives, or Krishna himself, what he wants us to do with his energy, and then have the intelligence to try to do it to please him. And then Krishna will help us remember him. Because remembering Krishna, Krishna has to reveal himself to us in the form, he has to enter into our remembrance. We can't force Krishna to appear. He himself voluntarily enters into our remembrance if we become his devotee.
One of the functions of intelligence is doubt, doubting. Up to one point. And here is also mentioned, asamsha is also without doubt.
Yeah, well, the doubt is to help us come to the point of asamsham, samagrama, no doubts. Because we have to doubt, especially if we don't use our intelligence to doubt and accept every blind following and absurd inquiry is condemned. Once you get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry, once you not only hear submissively, but once you get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. So So unless we understand that we're doubtful, we'll never take to the process to get a clear understanding. So it says doubt is a form of intelligence. We have to doubt the fact that we think our reality is reality. That's also a function of doubting. Not that we doubt the revealed scriptures. We already doubt the revealed scriptures, but that's not a function of intelligence. It's to doubt the revealed scriptures. But we should recognize we do doubt the revealed scriptures. And we should do what's necessary to get a clear understanding of them.
What's the difference between the reasoning and doubting? Is there some?
Well, doubting means we don't know. Reasoning is we're trying to find out. We're utilizing whatever intelligence we have to understand what's being said. Doubting is I don't believe anything that's being said. So that may be, or it says doubt is a form of intelligence because we initially don't know what's being said. So we don't accept it blindly. So it's good to think, I don't know what's being said, to recognize our doubt. But we shouldn't stay there. We should realize what's being said through the process of submission, service, and inquiry.
And contemplation?
Contemplating regarding what? Yeah. Everyone was contemplating. That's what
it's also a function of challenges, no?
Or lack of it. Real contemplation, dhyana, dharana, dhyana, anusmriti, that's in function of spiritual intelligence. Contemplating the objects of the senses will take our intelligence away. The more we contemplate the objects of the senses, the less spiritual intelligence we have. And ultimately, the less intelligence we'll have, etc. I mean, you may become a dog, you have a certain amount of intelligence, but it's not human intelligence. Or a mouse, whatever. So contemplation of the object of the senses takes our intelligence away. Contemplation of Krishna and things in relation to Krishna gives us intelligence, real intelligence.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the lesson. I have a question. You said Prabhupada was saying many times we have to hear, we have to read, we have to try to remember. But then we have also example from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came as in a role as a devotee of Krishna. And he said his spiritual master said that he's too dumb for understanding the Shastras. He just needs to chant Hare Krishna. So do we have to only chant Hare Krishna, or we have to also remember or study Shastras?
You mean Prabhupada was just wasting his time writing these books? He had nothing else
no,
to do.
I just saying that I don't understand.
Because unless you study these books, you'll never learn how to chant Hare Krishna. Unless you understand the philosophy, which is all about how to chant Hare Krishna. Unless you understand the philosophy of how to chant Hare Krishna, how can you actually chant Hare Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said his spiritual master called him a fool. So do we think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a fool?
I think he wants to make a point or show us.
Because he was talking to the Mayavadi philosophers. That's all they study the scriptures from the Mayavadi point of view. And therefore they were asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why don't you study the scriptures like we do? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my spiritual master called me a fool. That's why I don't study the Vedanta like you do. But ultimately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu convinced them by the Vedanta that they were wrong. That they, he transformed them through the Vedanta when they finally listened to him submissively. So it's not that he never studied Vedanta. It was just a guise.
Yeah, maybe I didn't understand the context.
Yeah, to read the whole chapter. Otherwise, why during the chapters does he quote the Vedanta Sutra to them? If he never read the books, Then why does he quote the books to them? Tell them that your philosophy is wrong. That Sankaracharya misled you. Then they all agreed with him. But he took a humble position, otherwise they wouldn't have listened to him. But obviously our philosophy, there's five powerful processes. One of them is chanting Hare Krishna, the other is studying the scriptures. There is worshiping the deities, living in a holy place and serving the devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, that's his philosophy, that's what he spoke to Rupa Goswami. So obviously there's more than just what he told the Mayavadi philosophers.
Yeah,
luckily you're not a Mayavadi philosopher, so we can tell you more.
Thank you for cleaning my misunderstanding.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.